Hey, we're gonna take my socks off.
It's not really weird.
1 second, guys. Okay. All right, guys. Welcome to Always By Your Side. And today I'm talking about my testimony, which is something that you guys have been asking me to do for such a long time. But it wasn't something that I was comfortable talking about until I felt like the time was right, because my testimony is still super new and very, very, very personal. I wanted to be able to tell you guys everything that's going on and not sugarcoating things and leaving bits and pieces out. I wanted to be able to tell you guys exactly what was going on in my life. Since my testimony is new, it's very fresh in my mind. So I'm just gonna get into everything because we got a lot to go. And you guys seriously have been such a support through all of this. And I'm really excited to talk to you guys about this today. So I think it all begins, I mean, realistically, I didn't have faith really ever. I mean, I believed in God, I believed in things, but I definitely wasn't religious, like, at all. I went to Catholic school on Sundays just to say I went and I could go to church and get married. That's kind of why I went to Sunday school. It was never like a big practice in my family. And I grew up in the Catholic Church, like I said, and it wasn't very welcoming, I would say. I had a very bad perception of God and church when I had first started, and it was from a young age. So I remember I would just go and I couldn't wait to get done. And it wasn't until I was 21, a few weeks before my birthday, where my testimony really started to happen. So as you guys know, I touched on this briefly, so honestly you probably don't know too much. But from when I moved to Miami to, you know, end of February, I was in a relationship and I had lived with the person, and it was honestly one of the hardest things I've ever been through at that moment in my life. And I felt so alone to the point where I ended up isolating myself from friends, from everyone, because I was scared. And this relationship, I lived with the person, and it was really, really toxic, and it was something that I had no idea how to get out of. And it was so hard for me because I really started to distance myself from my family, my friends, everyone. And I felt the lowest I've ever felt in my entire life. This relationship knocked me down in way too many ways and made me feel like I was nothing. I was being told that I should look more like this person, or I should stop eating this, this, and this, or eating in general, or I should look like the girls that he follows, or I should be more suggestive, or like I was a lost cause, I was a failure, I wasn't going to make it, I don't have the drive, I don't have what it takes for anything. And those things started to really eat at me, and between feeling like I couldn't eat or couldn't do anything, it showed in my mental and in my physical health that I was struggling. Like, if you look back at February to March of last year, I looked super sick. And it's because when you start to notice something isn't meant for you in your life, your body starts to actually reject it and it starts to show. And it really was starting to show in my physical health, and it was affecting my mental for so long. And at that time in my life, I had never really been depressed up until this point, but I was super depressed. I didn't want to get out of bed. I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to wake up the next morning. Like, I was okay if, like, nothing came from my life. There's a plane going by, so I don't know if that's going to mess up the audio. Hi, plane! At that point, though, I have felt like I didn't really have anything left. And I was like, you know what? Totally fine. If this is like the end of whatever, it was really hard for me. And it ended up overall distancing me from my mom, especially, who my mom is the closest person to me. And it was to the point where I was unrecognizable to my own mom. But yeah, I seriously felt like I had nothing. And who I became as a person, I was posting things that were so beyond worldly that it was disgusting. And weirdly, I felt like I had nothing left. I had nothing to lose. So I went on Amazon and I bought like some random Bible off of Amazon. I don't even know which Bible it was, but it didn't matter. And as soon as I got it, I just started reading it out loud as I fell asleep in bed with the person I was with. And at the time, like, he was like, you know, God's fake, God's not real, like, da 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 da. And I was just like, didn't sit right with me, not that because I was super religious at the time, but I just was like, I don't really like that. So I was like, you know what, I'm gonna start reading this out loud, and you know, God will come and protect me from someone that thinks that way. So I started reading it out loud every night. And the one night where I was just really struggling and I like felt like I really couldn't take it anymore, I went into the bathroom and I had the Bible and I went on my hands and my knees and I put my hands on my Bible and I said, God, I cannot take this anymore. I don't even want to wake up in the morning. Can you please remove this from my life? Because I do not have the strength to do it. And I was crying and begging and I was like, God, please. Like, if there is anything you can do, please just remove this. The next morning, and I won't like get into too much detail, the day was already really off in between him and I. And, you know, things were always off every day, but it was way different this time. It felt way different, but I felt at peace in a weird way. And later that night, I won't say how, I didn't do it, neither did he, but we ended up no longer being together. And he left. He packed his things and moved out. And that's when I was like, interesting. Not long after that was my birthday. I think it was like 2 weeks later. And I also had this girls' trip planned to Hawaii. And I was excited, but not at the same time, just because I was going through the breakup. And the breakup was, it was a lot to unpack. A year's worth of trauma and like toxic stuff that I'm still recovering from now. I definitely feel so much better because of God being with me. But I definitely was not in the right mindset to be going to Hawaii. But I went to LA a little bit before that. And you know, everything was fine. Like, I was hanging out with my friends and we ended up going to Hawaii. When we got to the house in Hawaii, there just wasn't enough rooms for everybody. So like, we all had to like bunk up. And I said to my one friend, I was like, hey, if you want, like, come room with me. We can room together. And her name is Aniela, literally such an angel. And she's like, yeah, like, that'd be so nice. So, and plus, like, I also really didn't want to be alone at the time, just because I felt super vulnerable and sad. And so when I asked her to room with me, I was like praying that she would say yes, because I was like, I don't want to be alone. And I knew she would be a good friend to have. And so every night we ended up, like, I was kind of going through some stuff as well, like, just like the whole breakup and like some other things that were just like weighing on me a little bit. Things that I probably wouldn't be as upset about if I wasn't in such a vulnerable spot. But since I was so vulnerable, it was like everything was like heightened. And every night before bed, we would just start talking, and every time God would just get brought up into the conversation, and I was just asking her questions, like asking about her testimony, asking her questions about God, asking her so much, because I genuinely wanted to know. And I was just so curious as to what her testimony was. And I didn't even know what a testimony was, but I was asking her, how did you get close to God? How did you do this? How is this? How does God like this? And I was just asking any question I possibly could. I just had endless questions coming out of me and pouring out of me at every moment. And she seriously was like such a help, like patient answering. And I always had seen her. I knew she was following God for a really long time. And I always admired the way that she was and handled herself and how pure and happy she was, like her aura. Every time I was with her, it was like, she was so happy all the time. And I was like, I always say to her, I was like, how are you so happy all the time? She's like, I don't know. Like, I'm just happy, like grateful. And I was like, okay, interesting. Because at that time, I hadn't been happy in a really long time. So to me, I was like, wow, that is very admirable. And I looked up to her for it. And so me asking her all these questions, I was like wondering, and she's like, okay, order this Bible off Amazon. I ordered the Bible, the right Bible off of Amazon. And we were talking and everything. And so there was one question in my mind the entire time I was in Hawaii. I would go on walks on the beach alone I'd like go wander off on the different side of the beach and just sit there and be like, God, why is this happening? And there was one thing happening, and then I was thinking about like, why did this happen to me? Why did this relationship happen to me? Like, I don't understand. Like, why couldn't this have, why do I have to have all this trauma now I'm gonna have to heal from and unlearn all these bad habits that I've learned? And I just kept saying, like, why God, why? Like, why do I have to go and unlearn all this trauma? Why do I have to go and unlearn all of these things? And I was like, I was kind of angry. I sat there and I was angry at God. I was like, why did you do this to me? And I didn't deserve any of this. And later that day, after like a few days of me literally continuously saying that, I come back and it was just me in the bedroom, and she had left her Bible open on the bed. And I'm like getting changed, and I go and look at her Bible. I just like peek over, and I'll never forget. It was open to John 13:7. And where is it? Oh, so I walk over and I peek over, like look at the Bible, and it's highlighted and it's open on the page, John 13:7. And it, I have it on my phone now because I don't want to butcher it. And it says in the Bible, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. And for me, that was such a crazy experience, because I knew that God had done something that night that me and my ex broke up. And it was like another prayer of mine was being answered. Again, I was like, is this a sign? And the whole week I was seeing 13, 13, 13, 13, 13. And then I go and I look at the book and it says John 13, and it was that. And I was like, this is God literally saying this to me right now. And I was just in shock. I was like, oh my gosh. He literally just answered, and I didn't think that it was possible. I don't know. I was just in shock, and I was like, this is, it was the first time where I felt like, okay, this is real. He is real. And I just couldn't believe it. So after the trip, Aniela was like, I have a church. I was going back to LA for a little bit longer. So she's like, I have a church. Come with me and like, I'll take you. And I was like, okay, I was ready to go and get communion. Like, and like go and like see a priest. Like, I didn't understand the different levels of church. Like, when I tell you, I was completely clueless to like anything with religion, I really was. So I seriously had no idea like what I was about to walk into. And I got there, and it was my first time at a Christian church, and it was a non-denominational church. And I was like, whoa. I remember I almost started crying at that sermon. I was like, wow, this was really cool. So I extended my stay again so I could go to church again, because it was like, I don't know any churches in Miami and I don't want to go alone. And so I went back the next week and I loved it. I was like, this is amazing. And so I remember being upset though, because I was like, dang, like, I have to go back to Miami. This is going to stink. Like, I don't have anyone to go to church with, nor do I know any churches. And I didn't even know how to find a church at the time. So in that time of me kind of starting to go to church and becoming more of a lukewarm Christian, I still was struggling with anxiety from my past. And ever since I was younger, I've always had anxiety, and nothing was ever able to get rid of it, no matter what. I was just always anxious. And earliest memory I have of anxiety was fifth grade, and I would throw up all the time. And even until like I found God, I was shaking all the time and anxious, and like everyone always could see it written all over my face. And they knew, oh yeah, Gabby's just anxious. She's always stressed out, whatever. And nothing was ever able to get rid of it. I tried so many things. I tried even smoking weed, and I tried doing things that were not good to try to cope and try to get rid of it, and nothing would ever fix it except God. And it is so big for me, because I seriously, when I tell you, I could not shake anxiety. I woke up with it. I went to bed with it. I couldn't eat because of it. I was stressed. I was a disaster with anxiety, and everyone always knew about it. And so it wasn't until, you know, my faith, it wasn't until I really started walking with God, and I saw Aniela's TikTok, and she was like, you need to cast your anxieties onto God. And in the Bible, it says, cast all your anxieties onto him because he cares for you. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. From there on, I started doing this thing every morning as soon as I woke up, because I didn't even want to go through that feeling of feeling anxious. I would wake up and I'd grab my journal, not even look at my phone, and I would go, Dear God, I am casting all of my anxieties onto you. Today, I'm really anxious about, and I would write a list of everything that I was anxious about. And I said, can you please give me the strength, the courage, and whatever else that I needed to get through today? And we'll continue to pray to you, take everything to you, and not go to worldly advice. And I will come to you and only you about my problems. And it'll be my first response, not my last. And when I tell you the first day that I did that, I was sobbing because I had never felt so at peace in my entire life. And that was something that I just could not understand. I was like, how am I at peace right now? And it felt like my whole world was falling apart. And I'll get into why I felt that way, because shortly before this, of me figuring out, you know, this whole thing of coping with my anxiety, my best friend passed away 2 months ago, and that was really hard for me. And at that time, I was also dealing with something else, and that was me no longer being a part of Comfort. And those two things were going on at the same time. So my best friend, Alex, he passed away super suddenly. And it was a feeling that I don't think I could have ever prepared for. When I got that phone call, I was on a meeting for my company. And just didn't believe it. Like, I threw my chair against the wall. I was screaming. I had no idea what to do with any of the emotions that I was feeling. And I don't think anything could have prepared me. And I was alone in Miami. So none of my friends that were friends with him were even near me. And thankfully I had an amazing friend come over, Abby, and she came and sat with me and just like tried to hang out with me and like, you know, keep my mind off of it. But how can you keep your mind off of your friend passing? And so I flew home. And I just was like lost. Like, I felt empty. I felt like my world was ending. Like, it literally felt like the entire world was falling in on me. And I was losing everything. And I didn't get it. Like, I didn't believe it. I didn't get it. I still have a hard time with it. But in those moments, I was numb. And I wasn't who I really was. I was just living through the motions and just didn't feel real. And especially how sudden it was, because it was something that no one prepared for. It wasn't like it was cancer. It wasn't like it was something that like we kind of saw coming. It was something so random and just didn't need to happen. And so as I was at the funeral, you know, as I was at the funeral, I really started to talk to God even more. And I was like, God, well, I understand, like, this is the first time I wasn't angry at God. And you might be like, why? Like, I feel like a lot of people, when someone passes that they're close with, they might think and get angry at God and be like, why did you do this? Why did you take him away from me? Why would you do that? And, you know, there was times where I did think that way a little bit. And, you know, it sucks, but I was like, there's a reason why God's doing this. There's a reason why. And he brought, I think Alex's passing brought a lot of people back together that were distant for a while. And I saw a lot of people that I needed to see. I realized how valuable and short life is, that you need to spend time with everybody. You need to make sure you're seeing everyone. I wasn't going home. I think the last time I was home in Pennsylvania and to visit my family was Thanksgiving. And that was a really big wake-up call for me, that I need to make sure I'm checking in on people. I need to make sure I'm going home and talking to everybody. And there was a lot of eye-openers. But, you know, the next day after the funeral, I took the 2 days of the funeral. I didn't go on my phone. Barely. I don't think I ever looked so terrible in my life. Not to be like that, but, like, my eyes, I couldn't even open my eyes. They were so swollen. I couldn't talk. Didn't even really want to eat. I was just so hurt that I didn't even want to be on my phone. And so that's kind of when everything happened with no longer being with Comfort and it was really hard. I woke up the next morning and I had been praying on this because this wasn't something that happened overnight. Me not being with Comfort anymore was not something that was just a split decision. I had been praying on it. I've been talking to God about it, and I was like, God, if this isn't supposed to be for me, if this isn't from you, if this is not my path that you have planned for me, please remove it, even if it hurts. And I think that's what is hard sometimes when you're talking to God and you start to realize, okay, maybe this isn't what God has planned for me. It's not a God plan. You have to surrender that to God and say, God, if this is not from you, remove it. Even though it's going to hurt me really badly, if it isn't from you and it's not supposed to be from you, I know that whatever you have planned for me is going to be a million times better. And day after the funeral is when I really got my answer, and it sucked. I'm not going to lie, I was sad. I was super upset about it and stressed out about it, and felt, again, I just lost my friend and now I'm losing this. And I didn't sit there and say, God, why did you do this? Why is this happening? I said, I trust you, God. And that was huge for me. I felt at peace in a weird way. After a few days, I started to realize that this was not God's plan, and he answered my prayer again. And this was the plan that he had for me, and I needed to trust him. And if I'm sitting there stressing out and being upset, saying, why did you do this, God? It's me sitting there and saying, God, I don't trust you. I trust me more than I trust you. And whatever you have planned is not better than what I have planned for myself. I sat there and I said, you know what? God, you're doing this for a reason, and I need to put my faith in you and my trust in you. And I did. And from then on out, I told God, I'm surrendering my entire life to you. Anything that you want, anything, I'm going to change my entire life around. I'm not going to do the things that I was doing, the worldly things that I was doing. I am going to do God's plan, not Gabby's plan, God's plan, because God's plan is going to be way better than whatever I had planned for myself. It's going to be a lot more trusting than what I had for myself. So in that process of me fully surrendering my life to God, I am now sober. I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I never will again. I am completely celibate until I am married. I am not posting the things that I used to post, those worldly things, for those worldly results. And I am trusting in God's plan, because whatever he has planned is way better. And I know in the past, my morals were compromised like crazy, and I was depressed because I knew that wasn't me. And I was being told by people what to post and what to do and this, that, and the other. And I wasn't trusting God. I wasn't with God. Now that I'm with God, I see things so much clearly. And I see my path, and I know what I want. And I know that the only thing that I want is to be closer to God in any way that I can, any way, shape, or form. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to continue to keep getting closer to God. I'm going to keep dedicating and surrendering my entire life to him, because he's the one that creates miracles. He's the one that has the plan for you, not you. Because if you were supposed to be the one in control, you would be God. But he didn't give us that role. That's his job. All that we need to do is to be our best selves, to be kind to everybody, to be forgiving, to take care of other people, and live on earth as if God was here with us. Now, instead of doing things that I used to, before I do anything, I say, what would Jesus do? What would God do? I'm not doing things and living for these worldly things anymore that I used to, because those were not fulfilling me. That was when I was the most upset. And it's crazy because I went through a crazy toxic breakup. I lost my best friend. He passed away. I lost my entire company. But I've never been at so much peace in my entire life, because I surrendered my entire life to God. And if that doesn't show you that God's working miracles, then I don't know what does, because I'm the most anxious person, or I was the most anxious person you would have ever met in your entire life. But the fact that I'm sitting here at peace is because of him. There would be no other way that I'd be at peace right now if it wasn't for God. And for me, the closer that I get to God, the better, because I don't care what it takes. I don't care how uncomfortable it might make me feel. I don't care if my world starts crashing down again, because you know what? It couldn't get worse than what it was. And I'm forever grateful that I was able to even find the light of him and be able to follow in his footsteps, be able to say that I am a child of God now, that I've completely changed my life around for the better, that I'm not doing the things that I used to do for worldly things. I'm now living for him. I'm surrendering my life to him, and I'm so glad that I know him. And I'm so glad that I'm continuing to grow and strengthen my faith. And so if any of you guys are feeling these things, I know I was super raw during this, and I know this is a lot to unpack, but if any of you guys are going through a hard time, or any of you guys feel like your world's falling apart, go into the comments, talk below. I want you guys to feel like you have somebody to talk to, because there was a time in my life where I felt like I didn't have anybody either, and it was really rough. And I want you guys to know that you're not alone. I'm always by your side. We all are. This is now a community of people, and this is the new chapter of the podcast. This is a new chapter of my entire life, and it's a part of my life that I've never experienced before, a part of this entire life I've never experienced, but I'm so ready to experience it with all of you guys. And I couldn't thank you guys enough for watching, for following me, for even being here. I am so beyond grateful to even have this platform and to be able to talk to you guys. And if you guys have any questions about anything, whether it be mental health, faith, anything, comment down below, DM me. I'm always here for you. If you guys want to talk to each other, only positive comments down below. I love you all so much, and I hope this helps at least one of you guys. So just remember, I'm always by your side forever and always. I love you. See you next week. Bye.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.